people are willing to work hard, they just have to be met with some result.
Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Vardy, and returning to the podcast for this episode is Angelo Poli. He is the founder of MetPro. Now, we didn't get to talk about everything we wanted to talk about last episode, so I wanted to have him back on the program, and I'm glad I did. You will be too. Let's just get right into it. Here is my conversation with the founder of MetPro, Angelo Poli, here on the Productivityist Podcast.
Mike, great to see you, my friend. Thrilled to be back.
So, the last time we talked, and of course I'm going to link to it in the show notes, we talked about the magic of metabolic profiling. And I mean, I know I want people to go back and listen to some of that, but one of the things that I wanted to touch on is right out of the gate is why is metabolic profiling so vital? And it's almost like you're putting the, sometimes people put the cart before the horse when it comes to a lot of things. And I think that unless you have a sense of what your metabolism does, you're kind of doing the same thing when it comes to fitness and your health to a great degree, right?
Yeah, no, that's it. Because it answers the big question that everyone's trying to solve. And that is, what do I need to eat to lose weight? Or what do I need to eat to reach XYZ goal? Or whatever your goals are, be healthier, have more energy. What should I eat? And fundamentally, the problem is you can go to the Google and type that in. You will get a million different answers. And it's not a matter of, well, how do you separate the right from the wrong, the good from the bad? The problem is all of them are right.
Yeah.
I've seen them all work. What's right for you today? Now, that's a question that can be answered if you know your metabolic profile. In other words, your metabolic circumstance and where your levers are. And so that's why we focus on that. You know, we do transformations. Mm-hmm. It's not that your metabolism is more important than your exercise or your sleep or your any other. It's I talk so much about that. I'm asked so often to speak about the metabolism because it's the most misunderstood
right.
element of the equation.
Right. And I think it's kind of like sleep, right? Like some people go, you know, I don't understand why I'm not able to get, I'm you know, I'm a night owl. But, you know, I got to get up earlier in the morning and I'm really struggling with that. Why? And I mean, I've talked to Dr. Michael Bruce about the power of when. And it's like, well, some people are just wired to be night owls. I'm one of them. So why fight that? Like work with it and you're going to get better outcomes. Right. Where it, and I would say the same thing applies here. Right. Like if you have an understanding and you embrace it. And I know I noticed when I was on the MetPro program that. Because I don't like to exercise. I mean, it's one of the things that I resist.
I'll tell on yourself now, Mike.
No. I resist it. And I know I need to do it. I'm getting older and I'm trying to find ways to make it happen. But if you have an understanding of like what your metabolism and you eat, I mean, people know that if you eat better, then it's going to play a large role in how you feel and your health. And exercise plays a role as well, but so many people they eat whatever they want and then they exercise hard because they want to counteract what they've eaten. And I noticed when I was on the program, I was like, okay, I'm getting results, the results I want faster because I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing the front end work. I'm doing right. I'm embracing that, which therefore means that, oh, I can do a 25, I mean, I'm not spending, you know, an hour or an hour and a half, you know, working out super hard. I'm doing some workouts, clearly. There's an exercise component. But when you do the right things first, it made the resistance for me a lot less friction because my brain was going, okay, well, you're eating better and you've the reason you're eating better is because you have a better understanding of your metabolism and things are and you're seeing results. And now the exercise is an adjunct or an addendum to it, for lack of a better. That's how I was looking at it. I think that
and refresh my memory, Mike. Who was your coach?
Oh my goodness, I can't.
It's Megan or Jesse? I know it was one of the two of them.
I think it was Megan.
We're going back.
I think it was Megan.
Megan.
I think it was oh. Megan. I think yeah. In fact, and yeah, we're going back. You know, and I will say that out of all of the programs that were comprehensive, I'll say comprehensive because it's not just like go on a diet or hit this workout plan. when it terms when the comprehensiveness of it wasn't challenging in terms of like, here's what you do. There was no complication there, but because it was so well integrated, I got the best results. Like, and I mean, I will say that one of the things that kept coming up from my end, and this is, again, this happens in other areas too, like with time management and all this stuff, this idea of biases, right? So one of the friction pieces that I had to get past was the plan the meals in advance, get things ready in advance, have things good to go. Because if I didn't do that, then the resistance to prep in the moment was that much harder, right? So yeah.
Let's dive into the psychology of that. So when I would do seminars years ago, I used to invite people to say, okay, share with me, what's the best result you've gotten? What type of nutritional plan? You know, and you'll hear people, you know, well, low carb or Weight Watchers, calorie control, whatever, anything. We say, okay, so here's what I want to do. And we're just going to do a mental experiment. The right side of the room is going to do their favorite diet. The left side of the room is going to eat whatever they want. Here's the catch. You can only eat what you put in your lunchbox the day before. That's it. Right side of the room is going to follow your favorite diet. Left side of the room is going to eat anything they want, but they have to prepare it in advance. Which side of the room you suppose is going to lose more weight? And everybody laughs, of course, but they get the point, and that is the premeditated nature, the advanced preparation nature of actually taking the actions of being conscious, selective, and purposeful about their food choices outshines even the best strategies, unless those strategies can also be implemented with purpose. So that comes back to why when we work with our clients, we're looking at two elements. One is the scientific element. So now you'll be listening at home or wherever you're at, and you might nod your head to this. If you're the type of person that's like, man, I eat what all the experts say. I eat really clean. I go off once in a while, but I'm a clean eater and I exercise regularly, but I'm still stuck at this plateau and it's so frustrating. Well, in your case, that's your metabolism doing its job, working the way it was designed, and it's acclimated to your environment. You're not doing anything right or wrong. It's just your metabolism acclimating, and you're at a plateau. So we need the right science and strategy to subvert that. Mm-hmm. Now, you may be thinking and nodding your head and relate to this a little better. Gee, I know every time I exercise and every time I start eating clean, I seem to get a good result. I start dropping pounds or whatever your goal is. Problem is, it's so hard being consistent with it. And so that's I'm making up numbers here, but just anecdotally and based on personal experience, if I were to split the room, I would say about 70-80% of people fall into the latter category. Now, I would say the people I work with are disproportionate because usually people that come to me, you know, have been trying to break through barriers and have tried every meal plan, every approach under the sun. And so now they want to turn to a professional that's going to, you know, cut to the chase, the no nonsense. Here's where your metabolism is at. That's neither good nor bad. It's just here's what it is. Based on that, we have a finite amount of options. There are 101 strategies under the sun. We're going to make this really easy. Based on where your metabolism is today, you're left with two. And we're going to start with one because it gives you clearly more leverage than the other. So here's what your next week is going to look like. Here's what you can expect 3 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now, and here's where we're going to get. And oh, by the way, it's not easy.
But that's the thing is that what I loved about MetPro when I was on it is, and any good program, whether it's, you know, related to what we're talking about here or time management or whatever, simplicity is key. Simplicity is important. It doesn't mean it's easy. Simple and easy are two different things, because the fact that I could go into my cupboard and know, okay, here's the food that's for snack time and I've packed 4 days worth, good. And, you know, when you can, it's funny, I want to have people go back and listen to the Annie Duke episode as well, because Annie's an expert on decision making. And one of the things that comes up during is she goes, you're looking at this cake and you want to eat it now because you're in that moment. But you know, if you think about the 90-year-old you, you're probably not going to eat that cake, right? Because the cake 90, when you're 90, if you keep doing that every day, you may not make it to 90. So, but we don't think, so in the moment where, and this happens again, this is why I actually schedule exercise. Like I schedule that time to be focused on fitness. And it's not like do very this good exercise. It's broad enough that I could fit the type in there. But because if it's too specific, and this is another thing that our brain does, if it's too specific and your brain goes, I don't feel like doing that right now, then you've eliminated, like you said, you've eliminated the option. Like the option you listed was do workout 3. Oh, I can't do that today because my knee's bugging me. Okay, well, then now your brain goes, oh, well, that was the only option you listed. So I guess either I'm not going to do anything or whatever, right? But if you say work on, you know, do cardio, that's broader, right? So you go, right, you know what I mean? Exactly. And what I've found fascinating is in the climate that we're in right now, like as of this recording where there's more people working from home than ever before, there's we are shifting from a time-based investment kind of workflow, whereas you got to put in your 40 hours and because there's no one is there necessarily to see you put in 40 hours. There, you know, there's trust there. But right, we're now shifting towards a results-based kind of economy or workflow because you could work not only the amount of hours that, because I mean, we all know that if you're working a 40-hour work week, how much of the time is actually productive work time? But also, if you're more of a night owl than a morning person, you might be cranking it at, you know, 9 p.m. because that's when you're at your best. So you're doing the heavy lifting then, but maybe at 9 in the morning, you're just doing that little piddly stuff that, so when you have freedom and flexibility, aka options, then the results can be, you have a greater impact on the results. If time is a factor, but not the ultimate measuring stick and results are, you're obviously going to get better results over, again, the key is consistency, like you talked about, over time. So one of the things that I was able to do when I was on this program was, when I was on MetPro, is we have the fridge downstairs. We have a fridge that's generally empty, except when there's beer in it, and there's no beer in it right now because I'm making a conscious choice not to have beer at home.
On the day that I'm interviewing Angelo Poli.
Yeah, yeah, no. Or I can only, actually, I have a rule, like beer happens outside of the home. So if I go to a restaurant, I'll have a beer, but not in the home. That's a rule. And it's a broad enough rule that the only thing I know I can't do is have beer in the home. I can still have wine. I still have bourbon upstairs, but I'm also not going to smash back three glasses of, you know, bourbon in a night because I know what that does. And wine is not, it's not like a quick beverage, right? But the point is that having the fridge downstairs being empty, it's like, oh man, like one piece of friction. I have to prepare all these meals. Where am I going to put them? There's already an answer to that. I have the fridge downstairs, right? Now, if you don't have the fridge downstairs, then you may not have that option that I did, but that doesn't mean you have no options. So it's the point is that it's about the decision. And Annie talks about this in this episode, like, and in her work, just because you, a decision isn't necessarily a bad decision because you got a bad result, right? Sometimes you make a good decision and you get a bad result. Sometimes you make a bad decision and you get a good result because you got lucky, right? Because luck plays into it. But what I like is that when you have a plan, like you said, when you go in with a plan, like you've prepped your lunch the day before, that's a plan. You've planned that. It doesn't necessarily mean you need to follow it, but you're that much closer to it because your brain goes, well, it's already done, so I might as well do it, right? As opposed to, oh my God, I don't have any food. I better open up a can of, you know, SpaghettiOs because I'm hungry and I need to fill my body with something, right?
You get it, Mike. And you know, to make sure that, you know, I want all the listeners to be able to come away with something practical and immediate, because, you know, a lot of people will listen to different health and wellness podcasts or different professionals and nod their heads like, yeah, these are all good reminders.
Right.
And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. I didn't come here today for reminders. I came here for new ideas. And so when somebody reaches out to me, so whether it's a, you know, pro athlete, whether it's a celebrity, whether it's an executive who has a finite amount of time and they have to get just this exact result, we implement a strategy. And guess what? It's the same strategy that I use for grandma and grandpa. It's the same strategy I use for, you know, myself and my day. It's the same. We don't water down the science. When you're not purposeful, what it does is it takes off the table the ability to implement science. Mm-hmm. Then it's just better habits than previous. And oh, by the way, for some people, that's a great first step. And for some people, I've had clients lose 100 pounds. No strategy, just better habits than they used to have. But by the numbers, if you really want to sharpen your results, you're going to have a strategy. And if you wake up in the morning and you say, all right, we're going to try hard today, and you don't have a game plan in place, you don't have a specific routine, you don't know how many grams of protein, carbs, and fats, you don't know what you were doing last week, what you're doing this week, or what you're going to do next week, and the why behind it, you're unlikely to get the same level of results.
Well, and I think what, again, another bias or belief is, oh, if I plan these meals, then they're going to be the same thing all the time. Not true. I can tell you that for a fact. Now, you will probably find out, and I did, that there are foods that I thought were fine for me personally. Remember, and they weren't. I'm like, and it was definitely an adjustment. I'm like, oh, okay, well, what do we do with this food here? And then, again, you have options. Well, we have the kids. They may eat it. Or you can hold on to it because maybe later it will be okay for you, which, again, is fascinating in and of itself. But I think the other thing is that I think is a barrier. And pricing might be part of it. But let's not focus on that part. Because there's lots of programs, whether it's related to fitness. Again, we talked about Tony Robbins before we jumped on the call. Like, you know, those programs that he has. You know, some people are like, I can't afford it is, it's a straw man argument, I think, to a degree. You know what I mean? Like, it's a hard argument on an ongoing basis. Yes, financial situations can, and time, but time certainly is not a valid argument because we all have the same amount of time. So, you know, people would go, well, yeah, but I work a day job, blah, blah, blah. Professional athletes, it's their job. Actors, they get paid to, you know, they signed up for a Marvel movie. And if you cast all those aspersions aside, which I've done and I continue to try to do because it's hard, the ultimate question is who am I to be doing this when another person at this level is doing it? I'm not at that level. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a celebrity. I'm not a high level executive. I'm the guy that works the 9-to-5 grind. I'm a knowledge worker. And that, to me, is a limiting belief. I think if you really want something and you want to have that better, and I can tell you, I mean, I'm not raking in a ton of cash here, but I know what's important. And I know that I'm a productivity guy. I know, like, how do I make this simpler for me? Not easier, but simpler so that I can get out of my own way. You know what I mean? And I think we're often in our own way when it comes to this stuff.
Well, Mike, I don't want you to scare people away thinking that this is a mortgage payment.
No, it's not. To be clear, it's not. I mean, but the brain does go, celebrities, executive, oh my God, this must be super expensive. And it's not the case.
Well, it's in our name. We do concierge coaching.
Right.
And I haven't always had the privilege of doing that. Mm-hmm. As a business and an entrepreneur, we've had to start with what the market and what the demand was. And so in the industry, the median is, you know, a few dollars a month.
Yeah.
And so what you end up getting is a well thought out program that has been designed for 10,000 people. And it's a great program.
And it works.
For someone.
Yeah. And it works. And
not for you. Right.
but I think the other thing too is that, again, data is really important with MetPro but with other like data is important. When you have the right data, you get a greater understanding, right? And so that also applies to, I mean, we often see, like, you know, less than a cup of coffee a day, but people don't necessarily, they look at the big number or whatever the number is and they go, okay, well, yeah, but I don't buy a cup of coffee a day. You probably do, or you probably buy something that's equal to that. So it's just about, again, back to that decision thing, like, what do you ultimately want? And I think, again, this doesn't just apply to what we're talking about today. How do you want to spend your time? What are the things you really ultimately want to do? And this leads to a question I want to ask you about, like, the correlation between, like, a healthy body and a healthy mind, because those two things are, but also to productivity, like, to doing and functioning at a level that you're going to be able to do all the things you need and want to do. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. No, we can't talk about
all
that.
Right, all right.
You don't know about the name of this pod. Yes, of course. Well, and to kind of address on both issues, we have a lot of people who invest in their education. At our core, MetPro, Metabolic Profiling, we're a group of educators. But you'd be surprised at how many doctors hire us to learn what we're doing with the metabolism, not because they're intending on working with us indefinitely, but they're doing it as an education. Fitness professionals will come to us because they want to take it back to their clients, and individuals who want to finally, once and for all, understand where their body is at will come and work with one of our experts for a limited time and gain that knowledge. But I have been busy while you've been doing your podcast, because it's been almost 2 years since, to solve that barrier for other individuals' way. We'll get to that later.
Let's lean into that, because I think that anytime you can remove a barrier, I think it's important. All right, we're going to take a break from the conversation for a moment to talk about this episode's sponsors. Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? Is something interfering with your happiness? I can tell you that while I'm a happy person, I can get overwhelmed. I can get cut off by what confrontation can do to me, and it can get in my way. I can be my own worst enemy. And that's why I'm glad that I found BetterHelp. You see, BetterHelp will assess your needs, just like they did mine, and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You know, you can send a message to your counselor anytime, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses, and you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. You can do this all from the comfort of your own home, and you're connecting in a safe and private online environment. It's incredibly convenient. Now, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches as well. So they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. And that's happened to me. It was scheduling that just didn't work. And so they said, no problem, here you go. And I was set up with another counselor who's been doing a fantastic job. It's honestly more affordable than traditional offline counseling, especially, you know, I mean, right now, anxiety, it can be a problem, overwhelm. To be able to do this stuff offline, it's really, really gratifying. And financial aid is available if you need it too. If you have issues with depression, anxiety, sleeping, grief, family conflicts, licensed professional counselors are specialized in those areas and many more. And anything that you share is confidential, so it's convenient. BetterHelp is professional and it's affordable. There are plenty of testimonials posted daily on their site, and so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Look, I want you to start living a happier life today. I want you to stave off overwhelm. I want you to deal with the things that you need to deal with so that you can live your best and most productive life. As a listener of the Productivities Podcast, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/timecrafting. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/timecrafting. Join over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health today. Again, that's betterhelp.com/timecrafting. Visit and take advantage of their offer today. Stress, sleep, recovery. Whether we're at the gym or working out at home or just at work, these things shape how we perform, and our performance affects our productivity. Now, I know that when I am not getting the right kind of exercise, and when I'm feeling unfocused, when I'm feeling run down, when my energy is waning, I can't perform. I can't be my most productive self. And one thing I've added to my daily routine, which I've done for quite some time, and after trial and error as to where to fit it, I found the perfect spot. and it's made a noticeable difference for me. And it's NuCom. NuCom is a fantastic tool that really is the only stress management system of its kind. It's clinically proven in over 1 million sessions to improve things like your sleep, reducing stress, and boosting your recovery without drugs and side effects. That's super key. And it's imperative to your health and happiness to be able to manage stress and not be managed by it. Well, NuCom gives you the power and control to relax and recharge anywhere, anytime. You can really own the day with NuCom. The NuCom system uses cutting-edge neuroscience and consists of three non-invasive and non-pharmaceutical items, all of which are included in your monthly subscription that costs less than a daily cup of coffee. The whole process is easy to use and to work into your daily routine. I've done it, and it's helped me achieve better sleep, reduction in stress, and a boost in recovery. And I know it can do the same for you. So do what I did. Own the day with NuCom. We've got a special link set up specifically for listeners of the Productivityist podcast. All you need to do is go to timecraftingnucom.com and get 50% off your 30-day subscription of NuCom and their money-back guarantee. That's timecraftingnucalm.com. Timecraftingnucalm.com. You'll get that 50% off of a 30-day subscription of NuCom and their money-back guarantee. What do you got to lose? It's an amazing, amazing system that I'm really enjoying, and it's helping me. I know it can help you too. Again, that's timecraftingnucom.com. Do it today. And now let's get back to my conversation with Angelo Poli here on the Productivityist podcast. We've seen this with, again, with to-do list apps and all that stuff, right? Like, you know, how do I know I'm going to do this thing consistently? Well, put it in your to-do list app and make it a recurring task. Or like, if you can remove friction, then you get into flow. And when you get into flow, it just feels like you're doing the right thing. So what have you done? Like, what's this thing that we're talking about?
So the core basics of our concierge coaching program is we do transformations with people. And every single client that comes through, no matter who they are, we start with baseline testing so we don't have to guess. The common philosophy in the industry is you need to know someone's age, height, weight, gender, and name, and then you can tell them what to eat. There's a bit of a problem with that. Unfortunately, it is a much more complex equation because as anyone who's been on any diet knows, their body's going to respond differently. If they're used to cutting carbs, then their body's in a different state. If they're used to cutting calories, if they're used to eating nothing but a bag of Cheetos and a pretzel, their body's in a different state still.
Plus,
have to baseline test.
Right. And plus, we're not even taking into account like food allergies and limitations to that end too, that there may be they may be aware of, but they don't realize that it, you know, and I know that, you know, again, speaking of foods that I said, well, when I was on the program, like I realized there's a food I shouldn't be eating. It wasn't because I was allergic to it or anything. Like, oh, well, this has a lot of this in it. And that's why it's, I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah, the smoothie, like this is not, you shouldn't be having that. Oh, okay. And for some people, there's just no understanding of that, right?
Sure. Well, and that's not shame on anyone.
No, it's not your job.
You're focusing on life and family and career and big picture things. Let us geek out over the latest tools that'll save you 5 minutes a week in your food prepping. You know, that's what we do. So no shame in that. That's all good. And that's what we're here for. But that it turns out that baseline testing process is mathematically driven. Mm-hmm. It's a solid strategy founded in science that has been around for a long time, implemented by a group of individuals that may not seem as relatable to the average person. And they themselves may not even realize this is what they're doing, but it's what the industry does. It's bodybuilders. Mm. Bodybuilders for years use a process of essentially baseline testing to determine what their cutting cycle and what their building cycle is going to look like. And bodybuilders, I mean, that is less than 0.1% of our clientele. But guess what? It doesn't mean that we use an inferior science for, you know, Aunt Betty or Uncle Bob, who still want to get where they're going as quick as they can. And that means having a good understanding of their body. Because their goal is health, energy, productivity, doesn't mean that they want to use an inferior science to someone whose goal is 4% body fat and competing on stage. So how do we know where someone's metabolism is? We use a process called baseline testing. And in practice, there are some nuances, but in practice, it's a fairly straightforward process. I'm going to have you eat a basic, centristic, middle-of-the-ground meal plan that I've also had thousands of other women in their early 40s follow, or thousands of other men in their late 30s follow, or thousands of other ectomorphs or mesomorphs, or whatever the basics of your body type. We're going to look at your response on that. We're going to compare it against thousands and thousands of others that are in your demographic that have followed the same centristic base meal plan. And what we're going to get is data. And now if we come back to you and say, yeah, Johnny, your metabolism's on the slower side, you should believe it, because we're comparing it against lots and lots of data points. And so the strategies we're going to implement for you are going to be different than if we came back and said, yeah, Johnny, if you just cut out the soda pop every night or the pizza and pretzels before you go to bed, you're going to have no problem losing the weight you want. So we're going to be able to actually formulate the strategy that's right for you, because I've seen everything in between. There is no fair. Right. There is no – we think in terms of parity. You know, right. Humans, we have two eyes, two hands, two legs, two feet, right?
Yep.
It's like, well, if you, what's good for you should be good for me. If it's fair for you, we think in terms of equality. That's natural.
Sure.
But, you know, I think of those terms when I try and, you know, play basketball, and I really want to dunk, but I'm a 5'8", you know, I'm balding, hairy Italian. I'm not going to dunk. It's just not, it wasn't in the cards for me. So, you know, let me do what I'm good at. It's not fair. Everyone's metabolism is different. I got a gal who she weighs about 115 pounds. It's a little itty bitty thing. She eats 3,300 calories a day.
Jeez.
If she so much as misses a snack, she'll weigh a pound less the next morning.
I got
a guy, he hits his elliptical machine every day, 5-6 days a week for almost an hour. He weighs 272 pounds. He's not overeating. If he is fortunate, he'll lose a pound a week.
Yep.
That's not fair. But what's worse is being and that represents two extremes.
Sure.
What's worse is being maybe not one of those extreme extremes, but having one leaning or the other and doing what everyone else has said. I don't know what's wrong with you. This is working great for me. And then doing exactly that, being met with no results and wanting to pull your hair out.
Right.
That's frustrating. And there's this psychology, Mike, where, and I don't know why this is. It seems to run sometimes in the fitness industry, sometimes even in the medical industry, but that if somebody isn't at a healthy body weight or it doesn't have the physique they want, they just aren't willing to do what it takes. Mm. They're just not willing to work hard. That has not been my experience. I've been doing this over two decades. I've dieted over 20,000 people over the course of my career. I have found that people are willing to work hard. They just have to be met with some result. That's the key. Progress. They have to see some progress. Progress is the greatest human motivator. When you see progress, you're willing to put in that hard work. That's why I tell people there's nothing wrong with an aesthetic goal. It's because it's going to drive the health goal also. There's nothing wrong with looking in the mirror and saying, I'm making a little bit of progress here. You know why? Because that's going to drive you to the healthy habits that are going to help the blood work, help the blood pressure, help the longevity, help the vitality. And oh, by the way, it's psychological. Well,
yeah. I mean, like on a vision board, no one's going to put like a number of a body. They're going to put a body that they like to look like. They're going to put like a Ryan Reynolds or a Blake Lively or somebody like that. So they can go, that's what I want to look like. That's what they're going to do. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what everyone should do, but no one's going to put like, I want this to be my data. Like they're not going to put numbers there because that's not necessarily going to motivate everybody. Right. But by and large, I mean, that's why you can look, oh, I want to look like this. Okay. Is how do I get there? And if they get closer there, you're right.
And, you know, do you healthy and fit? And you know what that looks like. We've all been there. We've had the times we're feeling good about ourselves. We've had the times we're like, yeah, I really need to do something about this. And the difference in whether or not a person will take action usually boils down to if they have confidence that the strategy they're going to take will produce the result that they want. Like, why start? Like, oh man, I gotta lose 40 pounds. Why start a process when you don't have a belief in the first place? You don't have faith that even the efforts you're going to put in are going to produce that outcome. That's a huge barrier. Whereas if you knew, if I said you do this, 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 and this, and you will be here on this date, you could take that to the bank. Most people are willing to put in the work.
Right.
You just have to have confidence in the strategy you're implementing.
I want to touch on when people are working with you and they've got I mean, obviously there's the data, but is there a point where they are become more self-directed, you know, where they're like, they've got the ability to say, okay, because I think that that's a piece that also fosters that progress where it's like, not only am I doing it with the help, but now I feel like the training wheels are off a little bit. Does that make sense?
So that's going back to the whole tools, what our company has been working on.
Right, 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 right. Okay.
So there are two questions in there. One is about the tools. The other one is really more psychological. People will ask me all the time, when do I know I'm ready to fly solo? When do I know I've reached it? I'm there. And the answer is when it is now your lifestyle and not a goal.
Right.
When it's your value and not a finish line.
So is it similar to, I mean, soda pop? I quit soda pop on July 2nd, 2020. I haven't had a drop of soda since then.
Well done.
I know. And I'm really proud of that. But it used to be I quit when I would go to a restaurant or something like that, or I'd go to a movie theater or something when we could go to movie theaters. It's like there's a combo and it's like, I'm quitting. I've quit soda. So you go from I'm quitting soda or I quit soda to I don't drink soda. Like there's that fundamental identity shift where
you nailed it.
I'm not a soda. And by the way, I actually have the soda can, the last soda I drank, and it's on display. It's right up. No one can see this right there.
There it is.
But there it is, right up there. And it has on the bottom the date. And I tried so hard to quit soda pop for the longest time. When I was doing that pro before, I was like on it. And now I don't drink it. And it's amazing. To your point about like once you've done that, then like, and that's a big one. Then you're like, I wonder if I could do this. And I wonder if I could do this because now it's the identity, right? So it's, you've tied that into, and Nir Eyal talks about identity. We'll link to Nir's episode of the podcast too. Cause he talks about like, once you've created that identity, it just becomes what you do. It's not a chore. It's just, I am a runner. I don't drink, you know, I'm not a pop drinker, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep, that's it. So now we have always wanted to make the tools that our coaches use for their clients and help track and analyze the metabolism available to anyone who wants to use them. And so now that's what our company has been busy doing the last couple of years. We've been slowly working on a process of creating a track, analyze, transform methodology that essentially mirrors what our coaches do. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not going to be able to say, I know you had a tough day at work today. let's pull this audible.
Right.
It can't do that. But what it can do is it can look at the mathematics and it can be very sharp. And so that's what our MetPro tools and our MetPro platform does, is it's going to have you enter in your goal. It's going to have you enter in the basics. Remember how I joked about name, height, weight, and age, and right? So is the basics, which means with that information, I have narrowed it down by 10 feet. Now we have 2,000 feet to go.
Yep. Filtration is key.
Now that I know that.
Yep.
MetPro will assign you, our technology will assign you a basic meal plan, centristic, balanced, based on your goal. I want to gain weight. I want to lose weight. I want to maintain my weight, but optimize within those. And then as you follow that, the AI is going to actually learn how your body's responding. You take enough actions where MetPro can say, your data is good data. In other words, here's what your weight has been doing. And I can quantify that it's been based off of eating XYZ and this activity level, whether it's a lot of activity or little activity, but it's quality data.
Mm-hmm.
here's what we've learned about you. Here's your average body weight. Here's how much your average body weight has changed. Here's the direction it's gone. Now, here's exactly what MetPro recommends. And we don't knee-jerk reaction change.
Sure.
We fine-tune. Because I know a lot of people are going to say, well, your protocol starts teaching and adjusting in just 2 or 3 days or 3 or 4 days. How do you really know what I need in that amount of time? And it over time becomes more and more individualized as the MetPro AI has the opportunity to learn more and more about your body, your metabolism, your behaviors.
Yeah, the more
it teach you along the way what your body's doing.
Right, but that's incumbent upon you providing the data. That's the key too, right? Like you have to be very, I mean, the more you give, the better. It's like anything else. The more effort you give,
yeah,
the more likely you're going to get the results you want.
Well, and it's worth mentioning at this point, a lot of people say, well, how is your app different from, you know, the MyFitnessPals and the food logging? Well, those are great apps. They do what they're supposed to do. They allow you to log your food. Our protocol, our app is not a food logging app.
No.
You don't log your food. We actually give you a meal plan. When you follow it, you say, yes, I adhered to it, or no, I didn't adhere to it. So throw out that data.
Right.
You need data when I adhere to it.
Right. So again, so, cart before the horse.
Right. Exactly.
We've come full circle. We've come full circle back to the cart before the horse scenario.
It. You got it.
Angelo, this has been a fantastic conversation. I am excited to do more with MetPro. We talked about before I jumped on the call, before we started recording, about leveling up. Like for me, it's this year is, this year for me, which of course I start in September, is about taking things to the next level. And yes, I'm taking my business to the next level, but I don't like the term work-life balance. I think you don't need to put the adjective in front of balance. It should just be balance. And MetPro, I'm looking forward to it being part of that process on an ongoing basis, because the other thing I noticed is that when I was on it, things were going, the things were flying in the right direction. Yep. But once I went off of it, immediately... Yes, my fridge was less full of meal plans downstairs, and it was actually somewhat fortuitous since our fridge upstairs broke, so it would have been a friction point anyway. We have a new fridge.
It is perfect timing.
But now we've got the fridge. Man, I cannot tell you how long it took for us to get a new fridge because of all the shipping delays and stuff related to all of the other stuff that was going on in the world. But now we have everything set. I still have the Tupperware containers that we use to fill things. I have everything good to go. And I'm excited to get back to this, because it's an important part. It really is. And I mean, I think the big takeaway for me is always, like, if I can get the right quantitative stuff in there and I know I have a greater understanding of that, it makes it that there's that much less friction to actually taking action so I can get the results I want.
Yep. Is it right if I share with the listeners the URL?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, where can people go and do all this stuff?
Because I was gonna comment on, I know you picked this word when I saw it. Jamie sent me. It's metpro.co/, and then every podcast I do will have their audience URL.
Yep.
Timecrafting.
Yep.
metpro.co/timecrafting. And that, what a great term. I love that. I knew you picked it. that's great, because it really, the first thing that I teach whenever I'm, I'm asked to do a lecture or a seminar is, what's the secret? People ask, what's the secret to success? And I tell the first thing, it's time management. Mm-hmm. Because you could have the greatest strategy, the most scientific approach, something that works flawlessly, but if it's awkward, cumbersome, and slow to implement, it'll never work.
Yep.
So you need it all. You have to have the right strategy. You have to have the scientific approach. But you have to have it in a way that's simple and direct enough that you can implement quickly.
Right.
For your audience, of course, if they go to metpro.co/timecrafting, they're actually going to get the opportunity to do a scheduled consult with an expert who will talk with them, who is not going to pressure you, who's going to actually get to know you and share with you options, what others have done in similar circumstances. And our goal, we're a teaching company at our core. Our goal is, we're happy if you leave having learned something, whether we have the right tools or the right programs for you, or whether you just want some general information to know what's a great starting point for me to do on my own. reach out to us, talk with our team. I really appreciate it.
And I want to be absolutely clear that the way I did it, planning, putting like 3 days worth of meals in the fridge and stuff like that. Again, your approach to that portion of it is going to be personal as well. Some people will prepare just one meal or one day's worth of meals or whatever. So for me, I'm a bit of an extremist. You can imagine when it comes to time management. So I'm like, I want to get as much done in the foreground as possible. You get, I mean, there is a flexibility there that I think it cannot be understated. And again, I don't talk about these things unless I've tried them, unless I've put them through the paces. And I have to say, out of all the things I've tried, and I've tried a lot, MetPro, I got the results. And it was through making good decisions with good data and again, going with the expertise of someone who knows this stuff so that they can give me the guidance I needed so that I can get the results I want. And it was working. So I'm excited. Angela, thanks so much for taking the time to join me once again here on the Productivityist Podcast.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks so much to Angelo for joining me on the podcast today. It was great to have him back. And if you want to listen to the previous episode that featured him, it's really easy to make happen when you subscribe to the podcast, because you can just go back and look at the archives and find that initial episode. In fact, you can find all 350 plus episodes of the podcast when you subscribe to the podcast in your podcast application of choice. That's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Google Podcasts, wherever you are listening to podcasts, just hit that subscribe button. That way you don't miss a single episode of what's to come, and you can easily search the archives to find what you might want to listen to while you wait for the next episode. That's it for this episode of the Productivityist Podcast. Until next time, I'm Mike Vardy, the host of the Productivityist Podcast, reminding you to stop guessing and start going. See you later.